encounter. If you would, turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God if you're able to. 1 Samuel chapter 22, we'll read verses 1 through 4. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 22, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, "Let my father and my mother, and I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me." And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. This evening, I want to give you a message entitled, Climbing Out of Your Cave. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the night you've given to us. Lord, thank you for the service already before us, the singing and the praying, Lord. We thank you for the ability to do so. And Father, I pray tonight that as we go into this time of looking into your word, Lord, that you'll be honored and blessed with it, Lord, that you'll get all the glory. And Father, tonight I pray if there's someone that is going through a tough time, Lord, that they'll see that they're only going to be there for a short while, Lord, but that you would help them through it. Father, tonight I do pray for the ones who are not here, Lord. Bring them back to us. Lord, I pray for the ones who are here, Lord. Thank you for their faithfulness to come. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that does not know you as your Savior, that they would place their faith and trust in you tonight. And Lord, we give this time to you. Bless the message. Use it for your honor and your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You ever feel overwhelmed in life? I mean, we all do from time to time. This text tonight finds David in one of those times where he feels overwhelmed. He is in a dark, damp, dreary, and depressing cave. The text finds David in this time, and he is experiencing the loss of everything and everyone that he ever leaned on in his life. He is alone, defeated, and discouraged. David is he's having one of those cave experiences. What David did not see at the time, though, was that he would soon come to understand was the fact that God was behind all of it and in control of all of it. David did not know it, but at the time, God was going to use this time in the cave to help David grow stronger in the Lord. David would soon come to know, or the day would soon come when David would emerge from that cave far stronger in the Lord than he was when he entered the cave in his life. And there are times that we too find ourselves in one of life's cave experiences. All of our help is gone. All of our strength is gone. We feel alone. We feel depressed. We feel deserted. You ever been there? I've been there before where I felt like everybody was against me and nobody was with me. I felt like I was alone. I was depressed. But can I tell you tonight that you're not going to stay in that place where you find yourself? Now, I don't know if you're there tonight, but we find David there, and like David, when we are dwelling in one of those caves, we often fail to see the hand of God at work. A lot of times we like to think that, God, why did you do this to me? Why would you allow me to go through this? And we're tempted to blame God. We think that because it must be God that has allowed this thing to happen in our lives. Because I would like to remind us tonight that just as sure as God is behind all the blessings in our life, he is behind all the burdens as well. This passage contains some blessings that we need to consider tonight. Here we can learn something about the cave experiences of life and how we can come out even stronger than we entered them. I want to take this tonight and look at David and climbing out of your cave. And I want to notice some blessings that are contained in this passage. First of all, in verse 1, I see the realities of the cave. There's realities of this cave. Look in verse 1 of our scripture, 1 Samuel 22. The Bible says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren, all of his father's house, heard it, they went down thither to him. There's a reality of sorrow here. David has been brought to an absolute low in his life. He's hurting. He is broken and defeated. The prince of Israel is living in a cave. He does not rest his head on a nice bed in a palace. He is now in a cold, dark cave on a wet floor on unyielding rocks. He no longer sleeps on a king-size bed, but he rests on a damp, dark cave floor. He does not find comfort in the house of a friend, but he fights loneliness of a deserted, dirty cave. Psalm 142 was written during this time period. I'm not going to go there, but if you want to write down that passage, Psalm 142 talks about during the time of when David was in the cave of Adullam. And there are times like that are ordained for each of us as well. We should not expect to get through life untouched and unaffected by hardship and sorrow. Can I tell you that the Christian life is not a cakewalk? There are going to be times where you will experience some cave experiences in your life. You're going to be in the lowest of the low. Now, I don't know what it may be. It may be the loss of a family member. It may be financial issues. It might be that it's health issues. Can I tell you tonight that it doesn't matter what it is, we are going to experience a cave experience in your life. The question is, are you going to trust God to get through it or not? Many times, a lot of people, when we get to that cave experiences and we get down low, we think, woe is me, how am I going to get through this? And I just weep and I wallow in self-pity and about how am I going to get through this? But we really need to put our faith and trust in God to get through it instead of wallowing in self-pity about it. But tonight, we see David in his reality of his sorrow. And there are times that we will go through that. David, just as they were for David, sorrows are part of an earthly experience. But I thank the Lord that one day when we go home to be with him, there is no sorrow in heaven. I'm so grateful that there will be no pain and suffering in heaven, but that there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no crying, but that we'll have that. But while we're here on earth, there are going to be times of sorrow. There's a reality of suffering here. God allowed David to come to this cave, and so David might learn not to lean on the props of family, friends, finances, or anything, but David was taught that he was supposed to lean on God for everything, not about his friends. By the way, you can't lean on your friends and your family all the time. You may think so, and they may be there for you, but when push comes to shove, when some hard times come, they may not be there for you. They may turn from you like that. Can I tell you, they will turn from you in a split second, but there's one that will never leave you nor forsake you, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that regardless of where we're at in our lives, the lowest point of our lives, if nobody is with us, God is there with us. He's still there. He's there in a still small voice. You know, God's not trying to destroy David here. He's not trying to discipline David. He was attempting to develop David into the man that God wanted him to be. The same is true in our lives. To teach us to look to God alone instead of our family, our friends, or ourselves. He may have to break us. He may have to humble us. And he does it to build us up. However, times of breaking up and tearing down often come before times of building up. That the Lord may break you down in times, and he may allow some things to go on in your life. But can I tell you, it's for a greater purpose. God shaping you and helping you to get to rely on him. And as hard as it may seem, and hard as it may be to understand that and to bear that, God uses time of affliction and suffering and pain in our lives to train us to become more like him. Now there's a reality of separation here. If you notice, David was by himself here. David has been cut off from his entire family, from all of his friends, all of his followers. He was in a place that prevents fellowship with others. David was brought to the place where he had nothing and no one but God. That's all he had. That cave was a place of separation. Can I tell you tonight, we need to get alone with God sometimes. Separate from our family, our friends, our spouse, our coworkers, anybody in your life. You need to get alone with God sometimes and just be you and Him. We need to be in a separate place, because that's when God will speak to you most, is when it's you and Him alone. We need to have that devoted time. And let me ask you tonight, do you have that time of specific time where you pray to God, or you're in fellowship with God, that you're talking with Him daily? That's where we need to be. We often find ourselves in caves as well. God will bring us to a place where we are alone with Him, and He'll shut us off from the rest of the world. We fear those times, but they often precede the times of God's greatest blessings within our life. You know, I can remember a time where I was brought to an all-time low for my life. And it was, I believe God was getting my attention for some reason. I believe that I was in school at the time, and I believe that the Lord used some experience in my life to humble me and try to get me to trust Him more than to rely on other people or myself. And look, that may be sometimes where He does for you. It may be that God looks like is breaking you and continuing to, the things may be going on in your life, and they keep coming. It's like, when is it ever going to end? But look, that's when God is getting your attention. Sometimes God will get your attention like that so that He can speak to you. And that's where He was finding David. He wanted to get everybody and everything away from David, all the distractions, so that David and God could get alone together. There was a separation. In reality, the times of cave experiences can be a blessing. They can be a blessing of instruction and growth. You see, we may not like it. And I remember that time. I didn't like it. But now when I look back on it, I thank God for those times. I thank God that He allowed those things to happen in my life, because it made me stronger in the Lord. It helped me to get through, to rely on God and God alone. David alone was alone in the cave. Jacob was alone in his tent. Elijah was alone at the brook. Job was alone, surrounded by his friends. But Moses was alone on the side of the mountain. Jesus was alone in the Garden of Gethsemane and at Calvary. Each of these experiences, they experienced their greatest triumph after being shut up and cut off from the rest of everybody else. You see, there are lessons that are learned in the dark that cannot be learned in the light. There are truths that can only be understood by those who are cut off and shut up with the Lord. Tonight, there is realities of the cave. But can I tell you tonight that those times are times for instruction and growth. We may not like it, we may not understand it, but when the Lord has brought you to that place where you have no one and nothing but Him, He has done you a tremendous favor. He is more sufficient. He is more than enough. And I'm thankful that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's a faithful friend that is very present in the help of time of trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1. There's a reality of the cave, but I want you to notice number two tonight. There's revelations of the cave. Look in verse 1 through 4, the very end of our of verse 1 says, they went down thither to him. In verse 2 it says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I come, or till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. The revelations of the cave, there was a revelation of his call here. David's props his family, his friends, and all the and his followers began to, as his props began to be taken away one after another, he probably began to doubt the promises of God that God had made to him so long ago. But after a while, people began showing up at David's cave, as we see in this passage. First, his family came, and then the defeated and the distraught people of Israel began to show up. David's family came out of fear of Saul here. The rest came because they believed David was God's man for the future. They all cast their lot with David. They believed in David. And God used this group of people to show David that God still had a plan for David's life. And I don't know how God will do it in your life or my life, but somehow God will, while you are in your cave experience, he will come to you where you are and will confirm his faithfulness and his promises to you. Look, if God's not finished with you, you're still here. You're still here for a purpose. We're all here to carry out the Great Commission. We're here for a reason. God has got a will for you, and if he didn't have a will for you, you'd be home right now. But I'm so thankful that he has a plan for my life. And I'm so thankful, and I believe that everyone in here could say the same, that you're thankful that God has a plan for your life and that he's not finished with you yet. And can I tell you tonight that he will make that known unto you when you're in your lowest of times. God will show his faithfulness and his promises to you. God will use your cave as a banner to write his love over your life. Elijah had the ravens in his life. Moses had the burning bush. Jesus had the empty tomb. God has a way of showing us that it will be okay. Everything's going to be okay in your life. When you're in those cave experiences of your life, don't get them down. Don't get down and out because you're not going to stay there long. God's going to bring you out of those. God's going to help you. There's a revelation of his character here. When his family and all the people of Israel showed up, that all these distraught people showed up, it probably added to David's burden at first. Psalm 57, which was also written at the time, expresses that thought in verse number 4. But David arose, he rose to the challenge, and the truth of his character was revealed in what he did during those times. He took measures to care for these people. He rose up and he led these men. It talked about it that he became a captain over them. They needed a leader. And David was the one that they wanted to follow after. David rose to be that leader. He rose to the challenge and he led those people. But it took pain. It took problems to squeeze that out of him. It took those hard times to show that he still could be used by the Lord. What can I ask you that maybe in your life maybe there's some sin in your life that God needs to squeeze out of you that you could be, he could use you. Can I tell you there may be things in your life that God can't use you. If there's sin in your life, he can't use you. But if we confess our sins to him, and look, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be completely forget. All of our sins are going to be gone away. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if there's a barrier between you and God, if there's sin in your life that you're constantly in, then can I tell you, God cannot use you. But once you ask forgiveness of those sins, once you put your faith and trust over to him, once you dedicate your life to him, he's going to use you. Now you say, Brother Matthew, I can't preach. Well, everyone's not called to be a preacher. Everyone's not called to be a missionary. Everyone's not called to be a Sunday school teacher. But all are called into the ministry. Every person in this room, from the youngest person to the senior saint, everybody has a purpose in this church. Everybody. Now, whether or not, that is your decision to get involved in the church. But look, if anything, we could always pray. We need some prayer warriors. And I'm so thankful that we're going to get this soul winning ministry started, because I want to be able to go out and knock doors. But I understand that some of us can't go out, and that is okay. But we need some prayer warriors that will pray over those who can go out, because that will help as we come before God on those people's behalf and pray for them that God would use the people, not just those who go out, but that God would help tender the hearts of the people that we knock the door on. We need to pray for those people that we are going to meet, that we're going to talk to, because we do not know what's going to be behind the door of a house. We don't know who we're going to run into, but we need to pray for those that we will go and talk to, because God may be working on their hearts as we speak tonight. But we need to pray for them. We need some prayer warriors. And can I tell you tonight that God can use you if you just let him. David, God wasn't finished with David here. He could have cast David aside and said, I'm not going to use you anymore. But look, David was not done. He may have been down, but he wasn't out. And can I tell you tonight, you may be down in your cave experience, but you're not out of the game. And I'm so grateful that God gives us chance after chance that he's not finished with us. There's a revelation of David's commitment here. In spite of what his circumstances said about David and his situation, David held on to the promise of God. David knew where to go to refuge in the time of trouble. He did not give up, and even when most people would give up at this time, you're running from a king that's seeking your life, and you have nobody around you. You have no help, no encouragement, nothing. It seems to me a lot of people would give up at that time. But not David. He said, I'm not going to give up. I know whom I have believed. I know that the Lord will help me through this. He knew the promises of God. He knew that God would come through in his time. And can I tell you tonight, you may be going through that cave experience. You may be down low, the lowest of the low. But can I tell you, if you keep trusting God, God will help you through it. Can I tell you, we can't get out of the cave experiences ourselves. If we did, we would be out of them. But God, we need God to help us through those times. Number three this evening, the refreshments of the cave. Look in verse 2. Of our passage, 1 Samuel 22, verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Now caves, I don't know if you've ever been in a cave before, but it's a pretty interesting experience when you go into an actual cave. It's dark, it's cold, and caves are, they make for hard living, but they are not altogether bad. There are some refreshing discoveries when you go into a cave. I remember going into a cave, I believe it was in, I think it was Branson, Missouri, or either that or Gatlinburg, one of those two. But we went into a cave, and it had, when you go into it, there's like the stalactites and stalagmites, and it's just a beautiful thing, isn't it? And I love seeing those. And it's a refreshment to see. And it's one of the beauties that God has established. And you look at all of our world and how beautiful God has created the world. But you look in the cave too, it's beautiful too. And it may seem like, it may seem that caves are harsh, but some look very beautiful. And they're refreshing discoveries. There's a refreshment here of David's cave though. Refreshment of his family. David's family comes to him in the cave, and man, what a sight that must have been. David was, here are people who used to doubt David. His own father ignored him. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, it says that. His oldest brother publicly rebuked David and criticized him. Now they came to see a man they came to see the man before them, God's man and God's choice for a king. The one they formerly would have passed over, the one that turned for their help. It seems that the caves of life have the potential to bring out the best in our lives. Can I tell you that cave that you're going through? You may see some horrible things. People may suffer some horrible things, but I'm always fascinated by how people respond to the pain and that they are called upon to bear. Look, we may be called upon to suffer some things. And you ever heard the saying, suffering for Jesus? I have, and I've heard of that saying. And look, there may be some times where you may have to suffer for the Lord. But look, those times can help build you up. They can make you stronger in the Lord. And it's a refreshment here to see David and his family coming forward. You know, can I tell you tonight that there may be some storms in your life? It is not the storm you weather that defines you, but it's the way you weather the storm. Can I tell you, it's your attitude in the way you go through those cave experiences in life. It's not the cave itself. It's not the trials itself. It's the way you take it. You can either sit down and say, woe is me, why am I going through this? Why is God allowing me going through this? Or can you say that, you know what, God has a plan for me and I'm going for this for a reason. And I'm going to trust in him that I'm going to get through it. There's a refreshment of his family, but I'll notice that there's a refreshment of his followers here. These men, about 400 men, were gathered themselves together around David because they were fed up with Saul. They were tired of Saul. I mean, Saul's only mission was to kill David at the time. Can you imagine the king of Israel who's supposed to be leading them and helping them, but they're seeking David's life at this time? I'm sure there was people that were fed up with the way Saul was running things, and they wanted David to lead them. The distressed came to David. The word distressed there is under stress or under pressure. We're also told that there were people there that were in debt came. This speaks to those who couldn't pay their bills. The discontented also came. The word is the bitter of who had been mistreated. Here's a group of hundreds of people who came and they were suffering. They were suffering under the tyranny and the taxation of Saul, and they were fed up. So they go to David because they believe that David was God's chosen. That he was the next king of Israel. And I'm sure David could not see in his life what they saw. But at that time, David was only defeated in discouragement there. And while David could only see the cave, those people came to him because they saw him for what he would be. They gathered themselves around him because they believed him even when he was down and out. They believed that he was down, but they knew that God was still with him. Thank the Lord for encouragers in our life. Thank the Lord for people. I'm thankful for fellow Christians that when you get down and out, and can I tell you, when one person hurts in the church, we all hurt. Can I tell you that there are people in this room that when you're going through a cave experience, there are people in this room that will hurt with you, and they'll encourage you to help you through that trial. They may not be able to physically help in some ways, but look, you've got some people here that will pray for you. You got some people here that will call you up and say, and will ask you how you're doing it, and will pray with you, and will try to help you as in any way you could. I'm thankful for the encouragers in life. I had a lot of people like that, and even this morning I had a pastor friend of mine who texted me, and he said, look, how's your church going? How's everything going? Just I want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you today. And that encouraged my heart. You know, I may not have been down. I may not have been feeling I may not have been in that cave experience, but those encouragements really help. They go a long way. Just a little simple text, just a little phone call, they help and they go a long way. I'm thankful for those encouragement, the refreshment of those people. I want you to notice, and we'll wrap this up real quick, but the refreshment of his focus. Going through the pain of seeing all his props taken away was probably a painful experience for David. I guarantee you it was. Having to flee from the palace, which once he called home, and hide in a cold, dark cave was very humbling. However, the humble hide away, in the humble kind of way, God began to process and transform in David into the great king that he would be. God took him as he was, and he took these men working through David and transformed him into David's mighty men. These 400 men that we're talking about tonight. These men, they had faults. They had things that were wrong in their lives. But look, God used them for David. David was able to get his mind from his problems and focus on his attention on leading these men into the fight. It was a humble beginning. But David was focused, and soon he would walk out of that cave and accept the crown, the king of Israel. If there's any benefit that of the cave that stands out, it's the fact that caves have the ability to focus on our priorities. When we go into a cave experience, we soon learn what is important in life, what's really matters. The caves will focus on nothing else. They will help us focus on nothing else. Peter was all over the map. He was hot and cold before he entered his cave experience. But when he came out of his cave experience, he was focused. That is what cave experience will do to you. It will tighten your focus and will often show you what's most important in life. You know, I'm thankful for the cave experiences in my life and what really it shows what matters to me. You know, we may get caught up in the busyness of life and we may think of all these things going on around us and how our world is, and we may get discouraged and we may get down. But can I tell you, when we're in those places where we feel like we're the lowest of the low, we see what really matters in our life. You know, I'm thankful for that cave experience that I have, because it showed me that, look, God, he came down, he died on the cross for my sins, and that I have eternal life in heaven one day. Whatever is going on in my life, it doesn't matter, because this life is only temporary. We're going to live one day with him in heaven. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful. No matter what goes on around me, I know that I'm on the winning side regardless. You know, we have the war going on in Russia and Ukraine right now. We may say, well, how are we going to do this? When is it going to come to, is it going to come to our country? Is it going to do this? Look, we don't need to be worrying about that. We need to be solely focused on his return. The Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be telling the good news about Christ. We need to be showing people, hey, the Lord's coming back soon, and we need to prepare ourselves for his return. That's what really matters. Whatever's going on in this world doesn't matter. What really matters is that Jesus is coming soon, and that we need to proclaim that he is coming soon. Tonight we looked at David. He entered his cave into a broken and a defeated man, but he emerged from that cave as a captain of an army of mighty men. He went running from a crazy king, and he came out reaching out and taking that crown as the king of Israel. The cave refined David's life. It was a turning point in his life. It helped prepare him for the tasks that were laid ahead of him. He grew in that cave experience because he submitted to the cave. Let me ask you tonight, what about you? Are you in a cave experience tonight? Something in your life, burdens, trials, whatever it could be. Maybe it seems too heavy for you to bear. If you need to come tonight to deal with that, I encourage you to do so. The thing we need to know the most is when we get in those cave experiences, it humbles us to where it's just you and God alone. And when you get in that time, you can hear him even louder than you would when all the distractions around you. Again, I said that before on Sunday, where you try to get alone with God and you pray, and then you hear all these kind of random sounds that I believe the devil is trying to throw into your life. You know, I've done that before, where I'm sitting up here at the office and I get alone, I start praying, and I hear construction going on across the street. And I'm like, you know what? It's just, you know, things are going to happen. Satan's going to try to throw anything and everything in your life to try to distract you, to get away from the Lord. But when we truly come to the place where it is just you and God alone, it's a very sweet place. And can I tell you that that's where he'll bless you. That's where you can get alone with him, and you can get, even though you may be down and out, or you may be down, but look, God can help you get out of whatever you're in. Tonight, if you're in a cave experience, can I tell you, you won't be there long. I'm so grateful that God doesn't keep us there long. Maybe tonight you're not in a cave experience. Can I tell you, get ready to go through one. Because the Christian life is not just a cakewalk every single day. It's not easy to live a Christian life, because Satan will continue to battle you. You know, I believe that's what the Lord did before we came here. What happened before we came here. I believe we were following the Lord to come here, and it just seemed like Satan was trying to fight, and he was trying to get things going wrong. But I'm so grateful that we knew what the Lord wanted us to do. And that may be you tonight. If you know what God wants you to do, look, don't get discouraged when Satan throws things at you. But be encouraged that you are doing the right thing, that because Satan's fighting you, that means you're doing something right. Tonight, where are you at? Are you cave experience? Let me encourage you. Don't get down and discouraged, but forever be trusting Him. Give it over to Him. Whatever you're going through in your life, give it over to Him. And if you're not saved tonight, I plead with you.